Well, let me tell you this morning about Tattoo the Basset Hound. Tattoo the Basset Hound. Tattoo did not really intend to go for an evening run, but when his owner accidentally shut his leash in the car door and took off with Tattoo still outside the car, he didn't have much of a choice. A motorcycle cop by the name of Terry Filbert noticed a car going by with what appeared to be something dragging behind it. And as he drove his motorcycle up to the car, he saw that it was this Basset Hound on a leash behind the car. Officer Filbert said afterwards, he said, "That little dog was picking them up and putting them down as quickly as you possibly could do it." He finally got the attention of Tattoo's owner, who stopped the car, but not before Tattoo had reached speeds of 20 to 25 miles per hour and had rolled over a couple of times. Well, fortunately, Tattoo was fine, although he was not much interested in going out for an evening walk for a very long time afterwards. He was picking them up and putting them down as fast as he could. Does that description hit home? Do you find yourself so often in life rushing here, scurrying there, hurrying in this direction, bustling off in that direction? Are you this morning tired? Now, all of us get physically tired, probably often in life, and you know the solution. You go to bed earlier. You sleep longer, you exercise more, you eat better. But there are different kinds of tired, am I right? Different kinds of tired. You can have a tired spirit. You can be weary in your soul, and naps don't relieve that kind of weariness. Now, here's some good news. God invites tired people to Him. We're in the midst of a message series about God and about His being an inviting God. And we've been seeing how God invites all different kinds of people into an eternal relationship with Him. Spiritually dirty people, empty people. Last Sunday we looked at lost people. Groups of people who are spectacularly unworthy of a relationship with Him. And today I want to remind each of us, and I want us to hear again, that God invites another group of people to Him. Tired people. People who are weary in their souls and worn out in their spirits. And to hear that, let's go to the first book in the New Testament, the Gospel according to Matthew. And if you would, turn with me in that passage, or in that chapter to chapter 11. And I want to look at the three last verses in that chapter, verses 28, 29, and 30. Verses 28, 29, and 30 of Matthew 11. All right, and this is Jesus speaking. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture to many of us, but it's great to hear it again. Jesus is speaking, and He says, "Come to Me." And by the way, before I go any further, that's often the word that's linking many of these passages together. It's that sort of universal word of invitation, the word come, come. "Come to Me," says Jesus, "all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Well, here's the first of a couple of questions this morning. What makes you tired of life? What makes me tired of life? You may not have grown up on a farm. I didn't, but you probably know what a yoke is. It's that piece of wood that fits over the head of an ox or sometimes a mule or a horse or whatever, enabling it to pull a plow through a field or pull a cart down the road. You can still see them a lot, I guess, in Amish country or maybe in third world countries. What you may not know, however, is that the shape and the make of a yoke is very important. You can't just slap a fat, rough chunk of wood around an ox's neck. If you do, pressure sores will quickly break out on the animal's neck and he'll refuse to work for you because he's in pain. No, a good yoke is formed and fitted and shaped to fit a specific ox's specific neck. It's really custom designed, custom made. In addition, it's smooth and it's rounded and it's been polished with no sharp edges that could stick the animal, and it's large enough to cover a large area of skin, so it distributes the stress of that weight as he's carrying it, and it distributes it widely and well. So a good and a well-fitting yoke means a contented ox, a contented animal that's likely going to be productive for you for many years. Very important piece of equipment. And Jesus used that imagery of a yoke to get at this whole issue of being tired of life, soul-weary, being spiritually worn out. And he implies that the reason that you and I get tired of life is because we're so often carrying stuff around with us that just doesn't fit our soul and set well with our spirit. And like a yoke that just doesn't fit well, this stuff begins to cause stress to build up inside of us. And your soul starts to feel like chafed, raw skin. Your spirit is just getting poked and prodded and bruised. And before you know it, you have this feeling of being spiritually tired. So then, what are the things that make you and me tired of life itself? What makes your soul weary? What wears you out spiritually? Well, of course, folks, there are many, many causes for that. And Jesus doesn't really identify any of those for us here. But let me mention what may be the top three. First of all, you get spiritually tired when your purpose in life is just simply not big enough. Now, why is that? You know, I'm sure that people in Jesus' day struggled with feelings of futility, just like we do. I'm sure they asked the same questions that we so often ask in life. God, why am I here? What is the purpose of my life? And because we keep so busy doing so much stuff in everyday life, we sometimes don't notice how weary our souls are getting. A homemaker wonders if maybe her only purpose in life is cleaning up and chasing after toddlers, or a businessman begins to question if his only purpose in life is making the company he works for a few more dollars in profit, or a married couple feels some stagnation creeping into their relationship and they wonder about the purpose of their relationship. Perhaps a loved one passes away. And your soul takes a punch in the gut, and you realize again the shortness of life. And so you ask that question that many times we should ask, and we do often ask, why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? You know, the fact is that life, in and of itself, doesn't provide a big enough purpose for life and living. In other words, just the fact that you're breathing this morning, you kind of have a bigger purpose than that, right? having a family, raising, enjoying one. I mean, that's wonderful stuff. Working hard at a profession or a career that you enjoy is good. Pursuing and obtaining pleasurable things in life, you know, maybe the nice home, the dream trip, the great gadgets can provide a temporary kind of a joy. But in the end, none of these provide that sense of purpose that's big enough for the soul that God created and placed within you. They end up feeling like a yoke that doesn't fit really well. And after a while, they chafe and they rub your spirit like into almost a state of rawness. I was reading about a time of high unemployment some years ago in the country of Ireland. And the Irish government began, in response, an ambitious road-building campaign. And many new jobs were created as workers enthusiastically signed up for these new jobs. I mean, it was great. I mean, now they would be able to feed their families while they were helping to build their nation's roads. And for a while, motivation was high and excitement was high, but all of a sudden it began to decline. It began to dwindle. Why? Well, they discovered that these roads that they were building literally went nowhere. They ended up nowhere. This road building campaign had been invented simply to create jobs. And so the mission behind the work had given those workers a sense of destiny. But when they learned that there really was no mission, there was no purpose, my goodness, the motivation and the excitement just went away. The work was the same, but the meaning was gone. Purpose in life. That's, if it's not big enough, folks, we're going to feel weary very quickly. Here's a second yoke that doesn't work very well, doesn't fit very well. Guilt. Guilt. Folks, every last one of us was born with a conscience. And it's both amusing but also incredibly sad to see how our culture wants us to forget about sin and deny the guilt which is its inevitable product. Mental health professionals tell us that people come to them with all sorts of personal problems that produce all kinds of stress and anxiety in their lives. And people get weary in their soul. They get tired of life. Why? Well, some of those same mental health folk point to unresolved guilt in people's lives. Folks, let's face it. Each of us have failed ourselves and other people in different ways. We've sometimes hurt and stepped on other people. We've sometimes failed to do the right or the good thing when we had the opportunity to do that. And people try to forgive themselves. People try to think positively. People hope that maybe counseling will help or maybe that the passing of time will help. But guilt has a way of just eating away at your soul. John Lewis Evans was a convicted murderer. And when the prison authorities delayed his execution, he wept. You say, well, sure, he was relieved, right? No. Now, John Lewis Evans was frustrated because he wanted to die. He was so overwhelmed by a crushing sense of guilt that he longed for just the release that death would bring to him. Okay, so you and I didn't murder anybody. I understand that. But the principle stands. Unresolved guilt will make your soul weary and tired of life. Third, you get spiritually tired, folks, when you depend on yourself more than you depend on God. And I know that sounds like a very simple, elementary principle, but it's hard to live in a way that's dependent on God. And part of the problem is that we live in a culture that prides itself on self-dependence. And don't get me wrong here, there is a healthy kind of self-dependence that each of us should possess. For example, God is never honored when you refuse to go to work and support yourself or your family. But I wonder how often we reflect on how massively dependent all of us are on God for everything. You and I would not be able to breathe today if God had not created air. We can't eat food unless God supplies the rain and the sun to grow it. You can't move or do anything without the wonderful body that God created and designed for you. You can't work at a job or care for a family without the amazing mind that God put into that body. We are absolutely dependent on God for everything. And there's a kind of a spiritual self-dependence that will just leave you worn out and weary in your soul. And it has everything to do with how you think you can begin and then maintain a relationship with God. Now, frankly, folks, here's how a lot of people think. Let me just paraphrase what they would say to you and me this morning. They would say something like this: you know, it's fine to believe in God. Jesus should be admired. Attending a church can certainly be helpful. Passing along moral values to your kids, yeah, that's important. But what's all this about committing your life to Jesus or getting born again? I mean, we get into heaven because, you know, we've been a good person. We work hard, we love our families, we do good things for others. And my friend, if I just expressed in so many words your perspective on how you have a relationship with God, how you begin it, how you maintain it, how you get into heaven when you die, you are headed for a worn out, weary place spiritually. You're depending on yourself rather than upon God and what He's done for you through His Son, Jesus. And your soul's going to end up feeling like it weighs 1,000 pounds. You're destined to become hopelessly and permanently tired in a spiritual sense. Well, here's a second question that I'd like to ask and try to answer this morning. How can Jesus give you rest? That's what He promises in these verses, right? How can Jesus give you and me rest? What does that look like? Well, let's consider those three causes of a lot of spiritual weariness and see how our relationship with Jesus changes each of those. Not having a big enough purpose. We talked about that. That will lead to being spiritually tired. Jesus, however, gives you and me a purpose that's bigger than life itself. And in that way, He gives you and me rest. The biggest and the most important purpose of your life and mine, to borrow it from the old Westminster Catechism, is to know God and to enjoy Him forever. If you want your purpose, that's just a good, succinct way to remember. It's to know God and to enjoy Him forever. And this is more than intellectual knowledge. It's more than just information about God. This is all about knowing God in a vitally personal, daily way. And God invites you and me into that kind of a relationship. One of the most interesting things that I think Jesus ever said is found in John 17. When He said this: and this is the way to have eternal life, to know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one You sent to earth. Now, why is that interesting? Well, we tend to think of eternal life as a sort of a state or a condition of life. You know, it's breathing and eating and living forever. But Jesus implies here that eternal life at its deepest and its most profound level is not it's not a quantity of life, it's a quality of life. It's really all about a relationship with God. And the biggest purpose of life is entering into and experiencing forever an ever-deepening relationship with the God of the universe. And because God is infinite and He's inexhaustible, you and I will never run out of things that we can learn about God. It's impossible, really, for you and me to ever get bored with God because He's inexhaustible. So, by all means, go and raise a family and enjoy it. Go ahead and seek out a wonderful career and work at it to the glory of God. Go ahead and taste many of the wholesome and wonderful pleasures in life that God intends for you to enjoy. All of that's great. Just understand that none of those things will ever meet your deepest need for meaning and for purpose in life. Again, remember what Jesus said. I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. And when that relationship becomes your biggest purpose in life, and cultivating that relationship and maintaining and entering fully into it, yeah, you're still going to get tired. At least physically tired, but you're not going to get tired of life. Your soul is not going to get weary. Your spirit is not going to become worn out. When you come to Jesus, he gives you rest from that. And so God invites tired people to find rest in and through Jesus. I said a little earlier that guilt will wear you out spiritually. It'll weigh down your soul maybe more than anything else, and I believe that's true. Ernest Hemingway, the author, provided an interesting insight into forgiveness in one of his short stories. It was called The Capital of the World. And in this story, he tells about a father and his teenage son who live in Spain. And their relationship had gotten strained, and it ultimately was completely broken. The son ran away from home. And after a while, the father began to search for his son. He wanted to restore that relationship. He didn't know what to do. So he finally put an ad in the Madrid newspaper as a last resort. Now, his son's name was Paco, which is a very common name in Spain. So he put this ad in the newspaper, and here's all that it said. Dear Paco, meet me in front of the Madrid newspaper office tomorrow at noon. All is forgiven. I love you. Didn't sign his name. That was it. That was the extent of the ad. Dear Paco, meet me in front of the Madrid newspaper office tomorrow at noon. All is forgiven. I love you. The next afternoon at noon, in front of the newspaper office, there were 800 young men named Paco, all seeking forgiveness. And that just underlines the fact that forgiveness might just be the most fundamental spiritual need of every human being on the planet. And Jesus gives you and me rest here by providing, folks, the only forgiveness that really matters, the only forgiveness that really counts. You know, Jesus did lots of things that astounded and astonished people. One of the most controversial things he ever did was to forgive people's sins, usually before he healed them physically. And when he did that, Jesus was demonstrating that he was God in human flesh, because only God can forgive sin. Every time you and I sin, listen to me, every time you and I sin, we offend God. Every time. And instead of taking that sin to God, so often what we do is we practice a form of self-forgiveness. And self-forgiveness is when you minimize your sin, you excuse your sin, you rationalize your sin, and the result is that you get spiritually tired from just lugging around all that heavy, painful yoke of guilt in your soul day after day after day. Sin has to be dealt with. It has to be punished. And when you bring your sin to Jesus and you confess it and you renounce it and you turn away from it, he, in a sense, spiritually speaking, in a sense, he pours his blood over that sin. The blood that he shed for you and me at the cross. And the weight of that condemnation, which will, folks, it'll make you tired of life quicker than anything you know, will lift off of you and be removed forever. Yes, and even godly people continue to commit sins this side of heaven. But the godly person just keeps coming to Jesus every day, confessing his or her sin, experiencing every day the removal of that guilt that only Jesus can provide. When you come to Jesus, he gives you rest. God invites tired people to find rest in Jesus. Well, I also said earlier that your soul will get tired quickly if you just habitually depend on yourself. And finally, Jesus gives you and me rest by offering us an eternal relationship of active dependence on him. I want to explain what I mean by active dependence. This is all about learning how to consciously depend and trust in God more and more in life for all things. Folks, this is something that I know for me spiritually, I've not gotten to the end of this, and I don't expect to in this life, okay? I want you to notice something important in what Jesus said there in Matthew 11, in those verses that we read. Did you notice that Jesus did not say, come to me and I'll take off that heavy yoke and you can just run around without one? Didn't say that. Instead, Jesus says, in effect, come to me and I'm going to take that old ill-fitting yoke off of you and I'm going to put another yoke on you, one that fits really well and is comfortable to wear. This is a yoke that I have custom designed for you. So it's not like we just don't have any yoke at all anymore. Every person in life has a yoke. The question is, how well does it fit? And Jesus is the only one that gives us the kind of a yoke that fits really well. And the kind of dependence, the kind of rest that Jesus is offering you and me here, it's not a take a nap kind of a rest. This is not vegging out in front of the TV with a bunch of snacks kind of rest. Okay? This is active dependence. Jesus never enables or blesses spiritual laziness. I've been a pastor for many years, and I have people sometimes say to me, oh, pastor, I just need to take a rest. And what they sometimes mean is I want to stop doing anything for the Lord and the church forever. That's not the kind of rest that Jesus calls us into. Yes, sometimes we need to stop doing something because it doesn't fit our gifts well or whatever. But this idea that God calls us to do nothing, I can't find it in the Bible. Okay? And so Jesus calls you and me into an active dependence on Him, a life that is marked by peace and by joy, even as we are eagerly and enthusiastically working away at fulfilling God's work for us in this life. And what is that work, folks? Whether you're a pastor or you're a leader in the church or you're someone that has just known the Lord for a couple of days, pointing people to Jesus and helping them grow in Him is the mission that we all have. It's the work that God has given us to do. We do that in different ways, but that's the work that God has called all of us to do. And so when you make that decision to trust Jesus for what's going to happen in eternity after you die, that's when you first trusted in Jesus, you begin to trust Him for what's going to happen in this life while you live. And you gradually learn. You gradually learn what it means to rely upon and depend upon Jesus for literally everything. Your marriage, your job, your kids, your health, your finances, your decisions, anything, everything. And that's what I was saying before. That's where I am today and where I'll be tomorrow, because it changes, doesn't it, the things that we have to trust God for and depend in Christ for. You don't have to pretend to be self-sufficient. I mean, how tiring is that, to pretend that you're self-sufficient? You're learning how to depend on God for everything in and about your life. If you literally depend on Jesus for everything, will you still get tired? Well, sure. You'll get physically tired. But I don't believe that you'll get tired of life. Your inner spirit won't get weary. Your soul won't wear out. And I would suggest to you that when your soul starts to get weary and your spirit gets worn out, it may be because you're not really depending and trusting in God for something in your life that He wants you to trust Him for. And so in knowing Jesus and consciously learning how to depend on Him, increasingly for and everything, what happens? You experience His eternal energy that comes to you and me through His grace and through His love. When you come to Jesus, He gives you rest. And God invites tired people, spiritually tired people, to find their rest in Him. Well, back in 2011, Volkswagen, the car company, put out a great commercial about this little boy, and I'm sure you've seen it because it's been out now for a couple of years. It's about this little boy who is fascinated with Darth Vader, and he gets this outfit, and he starts to go around the house and see if he can exert the Force on different objects or whatever around the home. First of all, he starts off down in the utility room with the washer and the dryer. He stands there and he puts his hands out and he tries to exert the Force. Well, nothing happens. Well, he goes down the hall and he finds the family dog lying there on the carpet, and once again he puts his hands out and he tries to exert the Force, and the dog just kind of looks at him like, "What is wrong with you?" Well, from there, the young Darth moves to a bedroom, and now he's looking at this doll who's sitting there on the bed, and once again he's trying to exert the Force on this doll, and the doll just kind of looks at him blankly. There's no response, and so the commercial goes on, and the next time you see this little boy, he's in the kitchen now. He's got his head in his hands. He's discouraged and he's depressed because he's been unable to exert the Force. Well, he notices, he's standing there in the kitchen, that his dad has just driven up in the car. He's gotten home from work, and he's not about to give up yet. So he runs out the door and he positions himself in front of the car and he tries to exert the Force on the car. And he's just concentrating, and he's doing everything that he can, when all of a sudden, the yellow turn signals come on, and the engine starts. And this kid is just, I mean, he's blown away. He stumbles backward. He looks at the house. He looks at the car. He doesn't know what's going on. All of a sudden, he's just bewildered by the fact that it's probably actually worked this time. What he doesn't see is what you and I see, which is his dad standing in the kitchen pointing a push-button ignition at the car and turning it on in that way. And when I look at that commercial, it makes me... I see myself in young Darth Vader. Okay, and I'll explain to you why. Because we go through life... pretending that we can really do more than we can do. And there's that's so true when it comes spiritually. Folks, that little boy would not have been able to do anything without the intervention of his father. And I want to tell you something. If anything good or spiritual happens around you or through you, it's because your Heavenly Father did it, not you. Not me. God invites people who have just gotten tired of trying to live life without reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. I love how the Message version of the Bible interprets the passage that we just read. Let me read it for you up there. Are you tired? Worn out, burned out on religion, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. See, he doesn't say go sit on the couch. He says walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And then Jesus continues, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. Isn't that great? And that's what the Lord Jesus invites us into. God invites even spiritually tired people to Him so that we can discover the joy of having His energy flow through us and to be used of Him in that way. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the fact that you have designed a yoke for each of us that's custom designed. It's something that is a joy to wear because it's custom designed by you. It fits us so well. And Lord, sometimes the fact that we become spiritually tired and worn out is because, we're not wearing that yoke in the right way, or maybe we've exchanged it for another yoke. And it's a way that your Holy Spirit can remind us that when we become tired of life, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And sometimes it's wrong because we've never made that commitment to Jesus in the first place. We've never invited him to custom design a yoke just for us. And we need to do that. We need to take that step of saying, Lord, I can't and I don't want to live life on my own. I want you to give me that yoke that I can walk with you. Sometimes, Lord, even for those of us who have known you and loved you for many years, we can get tired and worn out in our spirit, in our life, our soul. And once again, it's because sometimes, Lord, we don't wear the yoke that you have given us to wear. And so we pray, Lord, that for those of us who have known you for many years, if that's the condition of our heart today, we're just weary. We're worn out in our spirit and our soul. That we would come to you and we would find the rest that you invite us into, that active rest that you invite us into. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.